Good morning, Orlando. This is Deborah Roberts, and you are listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio on News Radio 102.5 WFLA. Now in studio, your host, local real estate expert, and my friend, Laura Peterson.
Good morning, everybody. And with me this morning is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hi, good morning.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Or if you like information about how it works, you can go to laurahasthebuyers.com. And we've got a lot of great stuff to talk about. And we're going to start out on a holiday mode because everybody's kind of starting to get into the holidays. If you haven't noticed, you can see it everywhere. And so that's always good. But one of the things that I was reading about today, and this is whether or not you're going to sell your home or not, but there's a joy index that you can have when you fix up your home. And I think that that's when people decorate for the holidays. I just heard that there was a study done that said that people are happier if they decorate for the holidays, and they're even more happy if they decorate outside, which I found fascinating. But I guess that when they're pulling up to their house and it looks festive and more festive than usual, it's got a little, you know, holiday glow to it, that it makes them feel a lot better. And so the inside does too. And so this is talking about remodeling that can bring joy to a home, and it brings joy to the way that you feel about your home. And one of and what they're talking about, first of all, is a complete kitchen renovation, and that joy score is 10 out of 10. So obviously when people remodel completely, completely renovate their kitchen, that they feel like they've got a completely different look, new home, all that kind of good stuff, and they feel very excited about it. Now, I'm not sure that happens while they're in the renovation process, but when it's all done, that's what it comes down to. So I thought that was really interesting and a good thing to know about. So if you want to get joyful, you know, one of the things that you could do is you could do a complete renovation. And when you're doing this, it's not necessarily going to get about 100% of the resale value out of it, which is the biggest fallacy that I think people come out with. But if you do want to do that, you're going to find that you're going to get some joy. And one of the things that they are saying in here that is something for everybody to know is that people are staying in their houses longer. You know, it used to be that probably every 5 years or so people would move, but now it's significantly longer that people are staying in their houses. And so as a result of that, doing some of the things like a complete kitchen renovation might be something that you want to do to enjoy it before you sell, you know. There are some people that I know that they actually do all those things right before they move, and I think, how sad, because they could have enjoyed it for a number of years before they go ahead and sell it. The number two thing is a kitchen upgrade. So the kitchen renovation, they're saying, is costing at least $40,000 to do that. So the kitchen upgrade is only $20,000. So you can cut that in half. And your joy factor is 9.6. So really, you're only going down 0.4 points in order to do that kitchen upgrade as opposed to the whole kitchen renovation. And you're only 0.4%, you know, not even 6%, I guess, if it's not, you know, 0.4%. If I could talk, it would really help. But you're 4% down from, you know, from 100% of really being up there. So I think that's a pretty good score for you to have, to spend half the money instead of doing that complete renovation of having the 10. You have 9.6 if you're going to do the upgrade.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I get excited just, you know, buying a new vacuum or something like that. So, I mean, imagine getting a new kitchen or something, or new appliances. Yeah. Always just makes you so excited, and you love it more. You come in, you get so excited about being there. You even maybe want to cook. I mean, there's a lot of things that come along with it.
That's right. So you can spend that $20,000 and spend you know, $100 less a week going out to eat or something like
that. There you go.
So, and the number three thing is when it comes to a joy score, and this actually has the same score as the kitchen upgrade, and that is redoing bathrooms.
Oh, see, I couldn't agree more with that either.
Yeah. So, you know, you just go in and have that room that we all use and all of that kind of good stuff that you spend a little money on, and upgrade. So just thought we'd start out with a little joy scale today. And so whatever you want to do to your house to make it yourself feel good about it, I mean, that's what it's all about.
Exactly. You gotta love it.
That's right. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio, WFLA 102.5, the News Talk Station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty, where your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you just call 407-566-2555. And when you are buying a house, switching gears here and that kind of thing, there's things that come in with the inspection, that some things that you need to know about when you're going into it. Like we always talk about, no house is ever perfect. Even if you're buying a new build home, they're completely not perfect, but they offer the warranties to them that they'll fix anything in the first year. And you have structural warranties for usually 10 years and mechanical for 2 or 3, depending on the builder and that kind of thing. So you're pretty well set when it comes into that. And when you're looking at a house and you can do a contract and ask the seller to fix certain things, and there's some things that you're better off not asking them to do. And so those are seven of those things we're going to talk about now. And the first one is easily repaired items that would cost you under $10 to do. And that just makes sense that, you know, it's like the nickel and diming, you know, kind of things. Mm-hmm. You're going to upset the seller that you're buying it from and that. And so if you can fix it for $10, then it really doesn't make any sense for you to ask the seller for it. The second thing is replacement of smoke and smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors. There, again, are a low-ticket item that really are important to make sure for your safety that everything is good, but not necessarily asking the current homeowner to do it. That's something that you can very easily, you know, do yourself. Another one, the number three one, is one that people get a little bit confused on sometime, and that's cosmetic issues in a resale home. And that might be the carpeting, or it might be that it needs a new paint job,
yeah,
or that you want the wallpaper removed if you don't like it, or paneling or something like that. But basically, those things are all cosmetic in nature. And so that's not something that's required, you know, for a homeowner to do, or that it would be normally expected for a seller to do. So those are the kind of things that if you ask for that, especially, you know, after you have a deal, then that's not really going to, you know, be something that goes along. So you want to make sure that you, when you're asking for things, it's definitely things that need repair. Like if there's a plumbing issue or an electrical issue or something like that, those are the kinds of repairs that we're looking for, not the cosmetic ones. And then the next one is, you know, simple issues when it comes to electrical and plumbing issues, like an upside down outlet or corrosion on a fitting. Unless they're a safety concern, then they're not issues that really should be addressed. So when it comes to that. So again, it comes to things that I've seen in an inspection that needed to be fixed were in the wall panel. There were some things that were, I don't even remember exactly what they were, but they were things that could cause a fire if they weren't addressed. Those are the kinds of things when it comes to electrical that need to be addressed. And repair of hairline cracks in the basement or driveway. And that's concrete expands and contracts naturally, and over time cracks are going to occur. So as long as they're minor, then that's not something that you would normally ask for a repair. Now, if the driveway is sitting at 5 different angles because there's that many cracks, maybe that's something that, you know, would want to be done. Outdoor landscaping, porch and fence repairs. These items are things that you see when you're making your offer. So if you're making an offer on a house and you know that the lawn's going to need to be replaced, then that would be something that maybe you would reduce your price. Because yeah, you would let them know that that's going to have to be done. Or in your negotiation, you're going to be doing that. So in order to get in touch with us, you're going to call 407-566-2555. Find us online at CentralFloridaRealEstateRadio.com, and we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend, Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me this morning is Danielle Plume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Or if you like information about how it works, you can go to laurahasthebuyers.com. So we were talking about in the last segment some issues that you shouldn't necessarily request to be made to the seller, you know, mm-hmm. after you have a contract and that kind of thing. And what we were talking about is the outdoor landscaping, porch, and fence repairs that are things that you obviously noticed when you were making your offer. So we should have made your offer to compensate for those items. You know, if there's something new that found like termites or something, well, that's a different story. But basically, when it comes to those kinds of things, those are things that you should know in advance. And then the last thing that it has here is replacement of failed seals and windows. And a lot of the windows now are double pane. And so as a result of that, sometimes when the gas does leak from them, they might get cloudy or something like that. And that's not something that you should normally ask for. Again, that's something that you know about before you make your offer. And when it comes to the seals, I mean, that if you just have to re-caulk them and that kind of thing, it's kind of a minor thing to do. So mm-hmm. it's not necessarily something that you would expect the owner to do. But real estate in Central Florida, I think, is looking really good. There's a 2018 forecast that shows that higher inventory and slower price gains are going to be what's on tap for 2018. So that means for everybody out there that it's a great time to sell and a great time to buy. Right. It's the market's not really changing significantly is what they're saying. So mm-hmm. as a result of that, it makes it really easy and good to go along. And this is in Florida that they, the Orlando, Kissimmee, and Sanford market is looking like they're going to have a 1.2% sales growth, meaning more houses being sold, and a 6.88% price growth. So that's what they're expecting to happen in 2018. So that's really, in my opinion, a very good place for us to be. So it's a normal increase in mm-hmm. the appreciation of your real estate. So buying it now would be a good thing so you catch on and get that almost 7% growth that they're predicting. And but it's not so out of whack that it's going to cause people to panic and all of those kinds of things. And so there's some leading housing trends in 2018. And one of them is that they expect the inventory to increase. So right now, if you are sitting on a house and you think that you do want to sell it, there's expected to have higher inventory than we've had in quite a while. So that'll just make it harder for you to sell that house as time goes on. Now, we have some really good plans to make sure and that, you know, the houses that we're working with, that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. But that is one thing to be concerned about and to know about. If the house is just going to sit on the market, that's not necessarily something that you want to be involved in. The second thing is that price appreciation is expected to be slow. So home prices are forecasted slow to 3.2% year over year nationally. Like we just said, over in the Orlando market, it's expected to be about 6.8. So we're pretty far ahead of mm-hmm. the national average, which is all good. And so if you're, you know, a buyer out there and you're thinking you're going to buy at the end of 2018, well, that's just going to add another 6.8% onto your price, possibly. So it might be something that you want to avoid now and everything. So it's just something to consider and to know as well. The next thing is that millennials are anticipated to gain market share in all housing home price segments. And I think that that's really good, you know, for the economy. I mean, millennials kind of get bad wrapped a lot in you know, all of the economy to a certain extent because people just bad rap them. I'm not sure exactly why, but you know, as they're getting a little bit older, that they all want to do have that home ownership mm-hmm. and all those kinds of things, which are really a good thing to have. And the next thing that it's saying here is that southern markets are predicted to lead in sales growth. And one of the other articles that I had read earlier this week was talking about how in the areas that have a lot of building, like we do, that they're actually helping with that inventory shortage too, because they're taking up the slack. And like we mentioned earlier in the show as well, with people staying in their houses longer, there's a shortage of inventory as well, because people aren't necessarily moving right away.
Yeah, they're loving their house.
That's right, which means we did a good job. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio, WFLA 102.5, the news talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty, where your home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you just call 407-566-2555. And then the other thing that is all up in the air in all over the news is the tax reform will be a major wild card, because in the House, I believe it is, that they've reduced the interest deduction and they've kept it the same in the Senate. So they have to, you know, get those bills on the same page. Otherwise, there won't be a bill. But that's something that you definitely need to be aware of, and that kind of stuff. You know, for the normal average person, it's not going to affect you one way or the other, because the interest deduction is there. It's just whether you can deduct it over a half a million or if it's up to a million. And so basically when it comes down to it, you know, it's like you just need to look at it and talk to your tax advisor.
Definitely.
Because that's not us. That's not our expertise. But we will definitely point you to the people that you need to talk to make sure that you have your I's dotted and T's crossed and all that kind of good stuff when it comes to buying your house. But in general, really, the real estate market is great. It's a good time to buy. And, you know, right now is probably for those, if you want to get a house by the end of the year and you're going to live in it, there is an advantage for you, because then in 2018, you'll be able to homestead it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you'll be able to get that deduction on your property taxes right away. If you buy it in January, and there's nothing wrong with that either, but then you won't necessarily get the homestead until 2019. So it's really, there is a reason for people to go ahead, and there is still time. Lenders can get the loans and everything through. And so you could actually close in December and have that property tax advantage, you know, if you're going to be living in the property. And you're, of course, a Florida resident and all those kinds of good things.
It's a big amount. I missed out for this year, but they told me I'm eligible for 2018. And it's like a real big chunk of money.
Yeah, it's usually somewhere in the neighborhood of $750 or so that you would save on your property taxes every year to have it homesteaded. And we'll talk about that after the first of the year when you have to apply and all the things that you need to have that. But you usually have to apply by the end of February, you know, with your particular county. And there's ways for you to do that and to prove that you are living in that house. And when you do, then it does save on your property taxes and you know, kind of gets them so that they're not going to increase that much and all those kinds of good things too. So it's a really good program for homeowners, and it makes sense that you would take advantage. And you can apply for that now. You don't have to wait until, you know, 2018 to apply for it, but you have to apply before February 28th, I believe it is. Otherwise, you'll miss out for 2019. Mm. So, or 2018. Yeah, you have to apply by February of 2018 in order to get it for that year.
Yeah.
But I think you have to close in 2017 in order to get it for 18.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Is my understanding of it. So hopefully I'm not incorrect on that, but just doing
well, the best thing is, too, if anything, you can always call the
property appraiser.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what I did, and that's what she told me.
Yeah. So the property appraiser is the one that you need to talk to, and they'll tell you the everything.
The ins and outs.
The ins and outs. And everything. But it is a good thing to know and to be aware of. And so if they're pushing your closing to January, you might just want to say, but what about my
homestead?
In order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555. Find us online at CentralFloridaRealEstateRadio.com, and we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend, Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me this morning is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hello.
And in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Or if you like information about how it works, you can go to laurahasthebuyers.com. So basically, we've got an interesting study, that survey that was done of what buyers dislike about a neighborhood. So when you're thinking about a neighborhood and you want to know what everybody else is thinking and it comes to resale, or if you're in a neighborhood and you want to know if your neighborhood stacks up as one that everybody wants, these are kind of some of the things that people dislike about it. And one of them is traffic congestion. And there are a lot of talks about traffic in Central Florida constantly.
Constantly. That's always the first, seems like, question that pops up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of times it's about I-4, but there's a lot of other roads that are just as congested, if not more so than I-4. But that's something that people are always talking about. You know, how congested is it to get to my neighborhood, and how hard is it to get out? And some streets, you know, it's like there's one road, some neighborhoods there's one road in, and obviously that means one road out. And so in doing that, you know, when you've got 500 people all going to work at the same time, sometimes those roads get backed up pretty easily. And
John Young, Orange Blossom Trail.
Some of those roads. So you got to kind of know what's going on and all those kinds of good things. Another one is the cost of being at of a home. 7 in 10 Floridians say that the cost of buying a home would be a problem for some considering moving into their community. So like now, they're, for example, for a lot of homeowners associations, they have a capital contribution for somebody buying into the neighborhood. And so that's not something that they all like or anything like that. That's my lovely phone signal. But basically, when it comes down to it, the cost of buying into a neighborhood is something that can turn some people off and not be something that they want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, well, things to consider would be, like you said, the HOA, maybe the contribution to get in, you know, maybe taxes, even the price of the home.
Yeah, like CDDs are something that exist in a lot of neighborhoods, and people don't like those at all. So that's something that people have a hard time with. Then another thing, the next one is rental housing costs. And what that is that they don't like it when there's a lot of renters in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I was looking at I have a client that's looking at for a particular condo development that she wants that one, and that's it. And the bottom line is that the thing that surprised her, though, is that out of 400 units, only 5 of them are owners that live there.
Wow.
The rest of them are investors that own those properties. So obviously they're rented out.
Yeah.
And about half of them are actually owned by one person. So that's something that, you know, I'm sure they were converted back in the day when everything was converted and went under and somebody got it. And you know, they haven't resold them. And I'm not sure what their plans are to do that. But the thing is that when you're looking at a development like that and you're going to be an owner living there, and you're not conforming to pretty much the rest of the buildings, is that something that you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something that you have to consider and that you need to know about when you're purchasing a property. Next is availability of public transportation. And we all like to drive and all of that, but at some point in time, you know, maybe you just want to take the bus or SunRail or something like that. And so how available is it, and how far away do you have to go to do it? Can you ride your bike to the bus or whatever and put your bike on that bus, on that rack? Like, I see all kinds of bikes on those rails on the bus and all that kind of good stuff. So how available is it? And even if you don't need it for you, you know, you might want it to have it for the future for resale and that kind of thing. Next is the available of affordable long-term health care. And so people, we have it all the time where people are saying, where's the closest hospital? You know, are there doctors near here? and that kind of thing. And so that's something that, again, they want to look at and know, to know if that's something that's applicable for that neighborhood. Is it going to be comfortable for them to be living there with as close as their doctor might be, and that kind of thing as well. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio WFLA 102.5, the news talk station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty. We are home sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. And joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you call 407-566-2555. And the next thing after the health care is the commute time to work.
Yeah, that's always a big tickler.
It is a big tickler for people. You know, mm-hmm. It's like everybody has in their mind how far they're willing to drive to their job. So we actually have a map now through the MLS that you can put in an address and how much time you want to spend on the road. And it'll draw the map of what properties are within that realm of that people that you could go to. So, you know, some of them might be, and it's a, you know, kind of a jagged area because some roads are faster than others, but it has that all figured out. And you actually put in there the time of day that you want to travel, and it'll tell you what houses you can live in that are that close to it. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's kind of nice. And so if you do want to know that, you know, it's easy to figure out.
Yeah.
And of course, if there happens to be a big accident and the roads turned down, you know, closed down 100%, that's not going to be effective 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it is something that is there. We just mentioned a little while ago about healthcare, and the thing about that was available of affordable long-term healthcare. And what this is, the access to quality healthcare. So healthcare is always another thing, like traffic, that's always on people's mind.
Exactly.
And they want to know if there's the minute clinics that are
nearby,
that are nearby, or the emergency rooms and all those kinds of things.
Yeah, it's important, especially if they have in-laws living with them, or if they have somebody that's on a certain, you know, medicine or whatever have you, or even with children.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so you want to be close to it. If, you know, heaven forbid something terrible happens, you want to be able to hop, skip, and jump to get there.
Correct.
And if not, at least if the ambulance or somebody needs to come, they can get there also in a timely manner.
Right.
That's very important.
Yep. And so the next thing is the quality of schools. And people with kids in school, you know, obviously want to have good schools.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have some companies that we work with that do offer like a rent-to-own program. And their criteria in purchasing a house for somebody to rent is the schools. It's really important.
Yeah.
And so they know that it's going to be easier to move. It's going to retain its value more, all of those kinds of things. So even if you don't have kids that are in school, school zones are still important when you're purchasing a home. And so you need to know that, you know, what the scoop is on that. And then the next thing is the availability of public parks and recreational spaces. And a lot of homeowners associations and all of that, they do have their own parks and recreation mm-hmm. Areas. And so you don't have to go very far. But if you want to have a family outing or an extended family outing or something like that, or a birthday party, and you could just have it at the park instead of having it at your house, and you don't have to, you know, go through all anything. the mess of all of that, and just have a, you know, blow up bounce house and all that kind of good stuff, then, you know,
good
can you do it at the, yeah, you're good to go. It's like bring a cake and you call it a day. So, you know, having a good park or something like that,
mm-hmm,
that's nearby that you can do that at, you know, makes it good. And let's be honest, we all need to be out there enjoying the weather, and especially this time of year when everybody else is crying about how cold it's starting to get, and
snow falling and all that great jazz.
And we're just like going, no, temperature's great. It's awesome. And so that's what it's all about. So in order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at centralfloridarealestateradio.com. And we'll see you after the break.
You're listening to Central Florida Real Estate Radio with local expert and my friend, Laura Peterson. And now, here's Laura.
Welcome back, everybody. With me this morning is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. Welcome back, Danielle.
Hey, good morning.
And if you, in case you haven't heard, at Frontgate Realty, your home sold, guaranteed, or we'll buy it. To discuss the sale of your home, you can call 407-566-2555. Or if you like information about how it works, you can go to laurahasthebuyers.com. So the next thing that we're going to talk about today are the 5 first-year mistakes new homeowners make. So if you are looking at buying a house and having it closed by December 31st so you can get that homestead like we talked about, these are the things that you don't want to do when you buy your house. And the first thing is always going with the lowest bid. And this is not necessarily in the purchase of your house, but it's in the repairs that you get on your house.
Renovations.
You want to look at and can make sure that you're comparing apples to apples, that you have a reputable company and all of that. Sometimes the lowest bid is the best one, but it may not be. And you have to look at it to see what the best deal is on that. You definitely don't
agree
do
more.
It.
That's with so many different things. You know, if you need an AC or appliances or, you know, anything, you want to get your house painted. I mean, definitely, they usually say a good rule of thumb is get 3 bids.
Yep.
And compare them and see what they're offering, what the warranty's like. Yeah. Things like that.
And what kind of paint they're using, too, and how long the paint's going to last and all of those things as well. Because there's different qualities and different things that happen with the paint, so you want to make sure that it's good. The number 2 thing is not to do is to submit small insurance claims. And this is absolutely true. It's like if it's above like $100 above your deductible and whatever you were going to claim, it might not be worth doing because the house, just like we have, we don't have pre-existing conditions necessarily in healthcare at the moment, but the houses get pre-existing conditions too. Yeah. And so if there's a lot of small claims, what that's going to do, just like when you have a lot of car accidents, it's going to jack up the price of your insurance. Mm-hmm. And then when you go to sell the house, if somebody can't get insurance on that house, they can walk away from that contract sometimes because of that reason alone. Exactly. And it's not a pretty picture.
Mm-mm.
So you don't want to do that. So you want to make sure that when you're submitting the claims, I mean, obviously you have insurance to submit the claims, but you want to make sure that it's for the right reasons and doing it to make sure. The failure to consider the return on investment of home remodeling improvements. And again, you know, it comes down to somewhat of the bids like we were talking about in the first place when it goes to, getting the lowest bid. But looking at, like if you, like we were talking about earlier today, that if you're going to put a full new kitchen in versus doing a renovation of a kitchen, you're not necessarily going to get that full new kitchen value back.
Yeah, you always want to be careful too when you're doing the renovations because I've seen too many times, you know, people over-renovate. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, you've spent X amount of money to put into the home, but it's not going to be all the monies that you're going to get back.
Right.
And therefore, sometimes, you know, the house doesn't show the value for what you've done. I mean, it's just like if you have a car and you go out and you do all these upgrades to the car, at the end of the day, the car's not worth all the upgrades, even though you've spent all this time, energy, and effort. It's the same with the houses.
Yeah, because when you're looking at a typical home in Central Florida, there are other homes that are similar to it.
Yep.
And when it comes down to it, they're going to compare your home to the one that's similar to it, and even though you might have 50,000 of upgrades in it, the market is not necessarily going to
match it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're talking about a $300,000 house, you're not going to get a $50,000, add-on because you've got something that you did for that price. So you really have to be careful of that because you think that it's going to go into it. But if you're going to stay in your house for a long time and it's something that you really want, then it might be worth it to still do it for yourself, but not necessarily look at it as a return on investment for getting it out of the property. And the next one is tossing receipts and paperwork. And so when you do own a house, it's different than renting. So you do have some deductions and that kind of thing that you can that you can keep. If you have repairs and that, when you go to sell your house, if you do have capital gains on it or something from a tax standpoint, if you have receipts on things and you can justify some of the expenses that you've got, then having the receipts and all those kinds of things just make life a lot easier in doing it that way.
Yeah, I'm a real big victim of that. I throw out like every receipt and papers, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, I need that paper. And of course, it's too late.
Exactly. And then when it comes to the last thing that they're saying on here is ignoring seemingly minor items on an inspection report. And the thing is that they're minor items on an inspection report when you saw them, because they are minor items. But many times, if you don't address those minor items, then they do become bigger items over time.
Correct.
So you want to make sure that if you do have an inspection report, which we all suggest that you do, that when you go back through and you look at that inspection mm-hmm. report, that you repair the things that you can or that are easy and that are less expensive, because you don't want it to end up being something, you know, big. Like if you're missing a couple of shingles on the roof now, you know, getting those shingles repaired before or replaced before, you know, the next rainy season comes and then it starts leaking into the attic and it grows into a big mess and all that kind of stuff. You don't need to deal with that if you actually do it the correct way. So it's just simple things, but it's things that as a new homeowner might be things that you don't know.
Yeah.
And so we just try to educate you on that so that you know what they are. So if you're just joining us, you're listening to News Radio WFLA 102.5, the News Talk Station in Orlando. I'm your host, Laura Peterson, Frontgate Realty, where your home's sold, guaranteed, or I'll buy it. This is Central Florida Real Estate Radio with you every Sunday at 8 o'clock. Joining me today is Danielle Pume, one of my teammates at Frontgate Realty. And remember, if you want to reach myself or Danielle, you can call 407-566-2555. So when we're breaking down the first-time buyer and really, you know, what is it that the average first-time buyer is what this comes down to. And basically, the average first-time buyer is 32 years old.
Interesting.
And so they have a household income of $75,000. And good. So that's everybody combined, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, husband and wife and that kind of thing. The median purchase price of a first-time buyer home is $190,000. And so, like here, that is pretty true, 190 for Central Florida. And the first time, but the median home price in Central Florida is 2.25.
Yep.
So basically, when you're looking at the price for the first time buyer, that 190 is about right on. And then most people do have a 5% down payment. Now, there are plans out there where you can do a lot better than 5% down. You mm-hmm. can have 100% down programs. There's some with 3% down, 3.5% down, all kinds of stuff. But when, you know, we've talked about this many times before, that basically usually a first month's rent and deposit is about usually all you need to purchase a house sometimes. So
yeah,
when you think you need a large down payment, you don't always need that. 41% of the people buying a house do carry student debt.
Yeah, I'm still one of those.
And so the typical balance on that is $29,000.
Don't know that much, but I'm pretty close.
So basically, you know, when it comes down to it, there, you know, most people do have student debt that they're carrying mm-hmm. along, and so that all enters into it. And the reason that your other debt enters into it that people may or may not know is because there's two ratios that they look at when you're buying a house. The first one is how you can afford the house that you're buying. That's a certain ratio. And then it's all of your debts together, whether it's student loan, whether it's healthcare payments,
whether it's
credit cards or car loans or anything like that. All of those payments are also looked at as your second amount that you can pay. And they don't let you go over a certain percentage in order to make sure that you can afford everything that you're going to be responsible for. And most people bought a single family home in a suburban area. Most first time buyers did.
Yeah.
So, and that's what it comes down to, the average. But we're out of time for today. It's been great talking with you. In order to get in touch with us, call 407-566-2555 or find us online at Central Florida Real Estate Radio.com. And we'll see you next week. Have a great one.
Bye. Have a great week.